Melissa Highton and Pete Robinson are both from the Learning Technologies Group in Oxford University Computing Services. Here they share their experience of setting up institutional podcasting at Oxford using the iTunes U service.
I would say that the challenge when you're bringing a new technology or learning technology to an institution is always to make a match between the right technology and the right institution. The institutions are not all the same, and there's diversity in the sector. There's also diversity in technology, and there's diversity in student bodies and the staff body. So if you're identifying a technology, such as podcasting or something else, the challenge is to make sure that it's a good fit. And if it's a good fit with the activity in your institution, your work will be much simpler.
Going back to early 2008, the university had the opportunity to work with Apple on a project that was called iTunes U, which is a service based on the very popular software called iTunes for allowing an institution to have a presence in a globally accessible system through the iTunes software. We decided to see if we could shift up a gear to make some of the disparate audio and video online recordings available in a more cohesive, coherent portal, which is called Oxford on iTunes U.
And we took a lot of care to think about how we could bring this technology together with things that the university wanted to do, that academics wanted to do anyway, and make it easier for them to do that through this technology, rather than asking them to do something else on top of all of the other things that they have to do and on top of the other things we're asking them to do. So the challenge was in thinking beforehand as to how this would fit with the business of learning and teaching and knowledge creation and dissemination at this institution.
We were in a situation where we didn't really have a central large repository of content. So we knew most of the material was going to be coming from day-to-day activities happening out there in departments. And we didn't particularly have any fund or big pot of money to get going, but we did have staff time, and we were lucky to get a couple of people, myself and another colleague who was the brains behind some of the programming involved in the IT side of things. And we also had students. We had three students who spent about 3 months helping us with the content and recording interviews and recording lectures and whatnot. It was really staff time for the initial project startup, and a large amount of devolved input from the departments. And that's often overlooked, because if you cost out the amount of time people put in out there in the departments, it's a small amount of money, but spread across a large amount of departments, that actually is a reasonable effort. So when we looked at what we were trying to do, which was basically bring together all the audio and video recordings from across the institution and come up with a workflow that would represent future activities, we needed to make sure that all the processes were documented so that when we had training sessions, everybody could have a clear pathway for how to make their material that was coming out of their departments available in the central systems. So we looked at legal paperwork for signing off the talks from the lecturers, and we looked at some policies and workflow for basically formats for the material so that it was coherent and consistent, and then we could group and aggregate everything into a central portal. I think the challenges in setting up an institutional service at Oxford University have been really to do with trying to scale up from almost no central repository of online audio and video to a large, vibrant set of material that with new stuff coming in every single day. So if you think, to in a certain extent, each podcast series is almost like a little project in itself with different speakers and different people in the department involved and a little bit of a workflow and a little bit of a legal paperwork trail, it's basically juggling lots of concurrent projects that are scattered across different departments. So we've taken the step of trying to work in a devolved way, saying that we'll basically get a community of people out there, more than 300 people have gone through our training sessions, and we devolve the kind of day-to-day nurturing of the activities to the people out in the department. So the project has been a success and is now a service across the whole institution, but we really need to try and think long and hard about the systems at the centre that would allow people just to submit material very easily, to get it reviewed and compressed and formatted into the correct podcasting formats, and basically to make it as easy as possible so that IT plays a role in taking some of the pressure off scaling up the activity across the institution.
Do Pete and Melissa have any advice for other institutions considering launching on iTunes U?
You should always start small. Try and make sure that you get some good, simple material that reflects well, and then over time build up the project and try and make the service more cohesive and embed it so that it can be sustainable. And to be sustainable, you really do need to make sure you've got a good community of people out there who support the project and see what the vision is for the future.
When we're trying to identify the success of a project like this, I would say that some of the success of the project is reflected in the number of academic podcasters that we have. We have a growing community, and we have more and more material going up onto the web each week, each month. And I think that it is a credit to the Oxford academics, who are media literate enough to be able to identify podcasting as an appropriate way to disseminate their work. Academic colleagues are pretty smart, and they're not anti-technology. You need to know a lot about your institution and your academics in order to engage them in win-win situations with technology, because a good fit will work well.
What are the long-term considerations when working with a commercial partner on a project like iTunes U?
Obviously, there were technical challenges and there were legal challenges, things we had to overcome, particularly in our relationship with Apple and where the material was going to be put. And we've revisited several of those challenges in our Open Educational Resources project, which has followed. And perhaps if we had known at the start of our relationship with iTunes that we were going to want to license material as Creative Commons for the Open Educational Resources project, we could have thought of that earlier, but we didn't, and that has changed in the time. So for anybody starting now, I would suggest that thinking about the licensing and where the material might go in addition to iTunes U is worth thinking about. But I think that the challenge of working with a commercial partner in that way is very real, and the challenge of ensuring that you're not locked in to a commercial partner, and that's part of making sure that your technology is developed in an open way and so that other institutions can benefit from it. And we make all of our podcasts available in iTunes U, but also outside iTunes U. So you always keep a copy for yourself, and you always make that copy available outside any proprietary system. I think that's a challenge, to make sure that you future-proof yourself in that way.
This podcast was produced by the Open University for the Steeple Project, funded by JISC.